heard Ron preach before, and I asked on short notice. It was requested, so I asked if he'd preach for us tonight. Brother, come here.
All right, thank you, Grandpa. All right. Appreciate Rachel letting me use her watch. I have a watch, but the battery ran out. I didn't have a chance to go get one, and it just feels right for it to be on. So I have it on, but it don't work. So Rachel gave me one. So I'll be very cognizant of the time, because I know how it is. You've had a long week, and a long week lies ahead, I'm sure, for a lot of you guys having to work. And Mr. Wendell was telling me this morning he had a long, hard week at Walmart, and he was having a hard time this morning staying awake. Not during Grandpa's sermon, of course. He's just talking about period, and I know the feeling, because we had one of those weeks too, and I drank an awful lot of coffee coming up the road, and sometimes it's like that. It reminds me of a story of a little girl in Sunday school class, and the teacher said, "Okay, Sunday school class is over now. We're fixing to go into the big church, and everybody needs to be quiet in big church. You guys understand that, right? You realize we need to be quiet in big church." And then all the kids, "Yeah, we need to be quiet." And she says, "Why do we need to be quiet in big church?" And the little girl raised her hand. She said, "I know why." And she said, Why do we need to be quiet in big church?" The little girl said, "Because people will be sleeping in there." So the kids get it, don't they? Yeah. They see people sleeping in church. I see people sleeping in church. but you know, I tell our people at church when I preach, you know, if you need to sleep, you go right ahead. Lord bless you for being here. If you need to sleep, go right ahead. Just try not to snore, make no noise, and keep anybody else from hearing what's going on. 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'll try to go, I'll try not to go very long. I'll try to shorten this up if I can. 2 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 22. Verse 19 in 2 Kings chapter 2 says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord saith, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha." Now, the men of the city, Elisha looked at the situation a little different than the men of the city. The men of the city said, "We're in a bad situation." You know, they said the water's bad and the land is barren. And they said, but it's looked pleasant to Elisha. But the reality of the thing was the water was bad and the ground was barren. And so Elisha told him to bring the cruse and the salt, and we just read what happened. And of course the water was turned good and the land was turned fruitful. But what I want to look at in this verse, in verse 19 says, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth it." The situation is what I want us to look at. If I titled this message, I'd put, "Your situation is not your destination." Your situation is not your destination. Now, these folks were in a situation where their water was bad and their land was bad. And, you know, the Lord, now I'm not saying Elisha was the Lord here, but the Lord sees our situation that we're in different than we do, doesn't he? You know, of course, our situation is what we're going through right now, what we're in right now, what your way of life right now. That's your situation, that what you're going through. And of course, your destination is your ultimate goal or the end. And that's what I want to look at here tonight. That you know, as Christians, our situation is not our destination. That's not where we're going to end up at. What we're going through right now, and I had no idea what a number of you people are going through. it could be countless numbers of things that situation you may be in right now. It may be a bad situation. It may be a family situation, a job situation, a financial situation. It could be a lot of different situations that may not be a pleasant thing you're going through right now. But we're going to look at some scripture here that lets us know that the situations that we're going through right now, the Lord has something better for us. And it may not be here on this earth, but when we reach glory, at that destination, boy, it'll be worth it all then. So I want to take some time here, and you know, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." What that verse is saying here is, in other words, that the trials and the tribulations that we're going through in this present day, they can't even be compared to the glory that one day is going to follow, or the good that the Lord's going to bring in us one day. No matter what we're going through now, and we think how bad it might be, the bad don't compare to the good that the Lord will one day show us, and especially when we get to heaven. So our situation is not our destination. Not only is our situation not our destination, we cannot fix the situations that we're in, can we? We cannot do that. Whatever the situation that you may be facing at this point in time of your life, you can't do anything about it, but only the Lord can fix that. Only the Lord can lead us on to the destination that He has for each and every one of us. And I looked at throughout Scripture to find some examples of some characters in the Bible that, man, their situations looked pretty bad. And then, of course, the Lord led them through those situations to a final destination that ended up pretty good. Now our situations are sometimes are bad, and our destination don't end up all that good here on this earth. But we have a number of people here in Scripture that we can look at that we can take comfort in and can have some hope in that, hey, you know, the Lord did it for these people. He can do it for us. Yes. The Lord did it for them. He can do it for us in this day and age. And because we serve the same Lord that was back in these days. The first one that I look at is in Luke chapter. You don't have to turn to any of these because I'll move quickly. Luke chapter 15 and verse 13, of course, it talks about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And we know that he had wasted all his all that he had on sinful living, and there was a famine. He had no food, and boy, he was at the bottom. I mean, he was trying to nose the pigs out of the way so he could get some of their slop. I mean, he was at the rock bottom. He was in a pretty bad situation. Now, he had come from a good situation, but boy, he was in a bad situation now. But you know what? If we read through on that, all that story, we won't read all that. But praise the Lord, his situation wasn't his destination, was it? It wasn't the end for him. It could have been, but it wasn't the end for him. His destination was back home in good standing with his family and being well taken care of. You know, verse 22 in Luke chapter 15 says that the father told the servants to get the best of everything ready for him and have everything all nice and ready for him to get home. Now, you know, the prodigal son, boy, he came from a bad situation. He ended up in a very good situation. His destination ended up very well for him because, of course, we know his father had the servants and get everything ready and taken care of him. I look at another example of someone who was in a bad situation or seemed to be in a bad situation, and his destination turned out pretty good as well. Judges chapter 6, in verse 13, Gideon says that the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Even if he wasn't in a bad situation, he felt like he was. He said, "The Lord's forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So he didn't feel like he was in a good situation there. Then the Lord told him, you know, you're going to defeat the Midianites, and he gave him only 300 men to do it with. That's a pretty bad situation because it says the Midianites were, there were so many of them, you couldn't count them. I think he said they was like the sands of the sea. You couldn't count all of them. You can count 300 men, though. So his situation didn't look too good. 300 men against all these hundreds of thousands of soldiers. So his situation didn't look good. But praise the Lord, his situation was not his destination. If you read on in those chapters, chapter 7, verse 22 says that the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, and the Lord wrought a great victory for Gideon. Now his situation looked pretty bleak at first. The situation he was in looked bad, but his destination was a great victory for Gideon. And if we notice, it says the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, and the Lord wrought a great victory for Gideon. We also got to remember that when we're going through these situations, the only way we're going to get out of them is the Lord. The only way we're going to get to that destination or that victory is the Lord. The next person that I think about here in Scripture is old Jonah. You know, Jonah was in a pretty bad situation. Now, I never have been in the belly of a great fish, but I don't think that's a very good situation to be in. Actually, that situation could be twofold. It was a good situation because if he hadn't got swallowed up, he probably would have drowned, wouldn't he? Yeah. And then plus, if you're inside of the belly of a fish, there's a lot of other things in there that's not very pleasant to be in the middle of, probably. It also says that that this great fish vomited him out. That's not a pleasant thing. He was in a bad situation. And of course, if we read on the story, the Lord took care of that. You know, sometimes we have to go through a messy situation to get to our destination. Sometimes we have to go through some mess to get to the good stuff that God has for us. And Jonah, of course, he went through a messy situation to get where God wanted him to be at. When, of course, he could have went a different route and not had to go through all that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Another person in Scripture that I look at is Moses in Exodus chapter 2. Of course, Moses started out kind of in a bad situation, didn't he? He was put in a basket and put in a river. That's not a good situation for a little one. When I saw a little one over here a while ago, I don't think that wherever she... Oh, they're back in there. They're in the nursery now. That little baby, I mean, in a basket going down the river, that's a bad situation for that baby. Yes. He started out in a bad situation. Then later on, of course, he killed the Egyptian and fled for his life. That's not a good situation. Fleeing for your life, not a good situation. Next thing you know, he's tending sheep on the backside of the desert. That don't sound like a very good situation to me. You think about that, though. Sometimes, don't we feel like it sometimes as Christians serving the Lord? We feel like we're on the backside of the desert tending the sheep and nobody knows we're back there. And nobody cares that we're back there. And nobody, you know, feel like you're just out there by yourself. You guys never felt like that, have you? Yeah, of course, if you're a Christian, you felt like that, I'm sure. But you're on the backside of nowhere. And, you know, I try to tell our teenagers, because I deal with our teenagers at our church, that it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're on the backside of the desert somewhere, it doesn't matter. As long as you're where God wants you to be at. That you're successful. That's the definition of success. And I try to tell them, of course, the world's definition of success is money, fame, power. Everybody knows who you are. But God's definition of success is it doesn't matter where you are as long as you're where God wants you at and you're doing what He wants you to do. That's success. You know, now Moses was on the backside of the desert tending them sheep, and that's where God wanted him at right then. That didn't seem like a good situation. You know, Hannah was talking about the woman preacher. That's not a good situation. I know what you want to do in that situation. You want to fix that yourself, don't you? Yeah. You want to just go right up to her and just put her out of her misery. But praise the Lord, your situation is not your destiny. The Lord will take care of that woman. He'll fix her. But Moses wasn't in a good situation. And of course, we know that the Lord brought Moses out of those situations and He used him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Chapter 3 and verse 12 says that the Lord said to Moses, I will send you and I will be with you. If the Lord sends us, if the Lord puts us somewhere, He's going to be with us. That makes the situation right there bearable, doesn't it? Just to know that He's with us. Chapter 18 and verse 10 says that the Lord delivered the people from Egypt. Not Moses, the Lord did. But He used Moses to do that. That was a pretty big deal to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. I think about Job. Man, you think about Job, what a situation he was in. You read that book, and he had everything taken from him, his family, his servants, his livestock, his wealth, his health. Man, he was in a horrible situation. You think about all those things right there. That's a horrible situation to be in. But praise the Lord that his situation was not his destination. That wasn't the end for him. Because if you read on over in chapter 42, in verse 10, it says that the Lord turned his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Now, you know, if Job had had the wrong kind of attitude about that situation, this never would happen. His fortunes were turned, and it says he had, when we start out reading Job, he's a very wealthy man. A very wealthy man. And the end of Job says he got twice as much as he had to start out with. So he was even a doubly more wealthy man, if that's such a word, doubly. Twice as much. Because he went through that situation knowing that wasn't his destination and knowing that he had to had the right attitude, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute, that the right attitude through your situations that you go through. Then I think about David in the book of 1 Samuel. Boy, you know, David was in, you try to think, what was his bad situation? Well, his boss was trying to kill him. Yeah, he was trying to be killed by the guy who he's working for. Now, you'd be in a bad situation if you went to work tomorrow and you feared all week that your boss was going to kill you. That wouldn't be a good situation for you, would you? Now, you may feel like he wants to kill you sometime. You know, if things ain't going good at your job. But you think about that, man. My boss is trying to kill me. That's a bad situation. And he was trying to kill him because he was jealous of him. Wow. Well, that's a bad situation to have to be involved in. And of course, we know, you know, David became a great king, but he had to go through some bad situations to get there. And he had to have the right attitude going through those situations to get there in the end. Then I think about, this may be the biggest one of all to me. I don't know. All of them are good examples of going through bad situations and then your destination being a whole different story. Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph. Man, Joseph was in many bad situations, wasn't he?
Yes.
But praise the Lord, his situations were not his destinations. You think about his brothers, they hated him. That's a bad situation. Now you probably got brothers and sisters that you know you may have fought with and not got along with or something to that extent. But I don't think anybody probably has a brother or sister that hates them or is going to try to kill them. You know, his brother's going to try to kill him. That's a bad situation. And then one of them had enough brain about him to say, we better not kill him. So they threw him in the pit, man. It's a bad situation. Then they sold their brother. Now, you may have wanted to sell your brother or sister when you was little or something. You know, when things weren't going good, and you know, things went right, yeah, I'd love to sell you right on out of here. These guys actually did it. That's a bad situation. These guys actually sold their brother. That's a bad situation. And then, of course, you know, Potiphar buys him and puts him in charge of everything, and then Potiphar's wife, it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation. And you know, well, I tell you what, he didn't deserve any of that. But she told a lie on him. And so he goes back to prison. That's a bad situation to be back in prison again. Then he gets in there and you think about the butler and the baker and the situation there. And all he asked that old butler to do after he told him what the dream meant, he just, man, don't forget me. Don't forget me. When you get back, just put in a good word for me so I can get out of here. And the guy couldn't even remember. I mean, I think you would think you'd remember. This guy comes up and says, look here, in 3 days, you're going to lose your head, and in 3 days you're going to keep yours. And in 3 days that is exactly what happened. I think I'd remember that. I believe I'd remember such a thing as that. Some guy told me that was going to happen, and it happened. And I think it was about 2 years before. About 2 years he stayed on in that prison, forgotten. And if I'm in that prison, I'm probably thinking, man, you can't remember that. You couldn't help me out and get me out of here 2 years earlier. But you know what? It never says that in Scripture that Joseph got a lot of whack about that. That guy forgot me. Well, a couple years down the road, the Lord jogged his memory, didn't he? And it all worked out good for him. 41, chapter 41 and verse 41 and verse 43 says that Joseph was made ruler over all the land of Egypt. And it says that the Lord made all he did to prosper. Now you think if he'd have had the wrong attitude about all those things that happened to him, that he would have ended up being ruler over all the land of Egypt and being made all that he did to prosper. These guys, now we can say two of them, sometimes we're in a situation because we put ourselves in them. Some situations we put ourselves in. Two of those guys I just mentioned put themselves in the situations they got in. The old prodigal son, boy, he was a hardhead. And John was pretty hardheaded too. They put themselves in situations they got in. Praise the Lord, they figured it out though, that they'd messed up and made the thing right, and the Lord took care of that for them. But these other guys, man, they had the right attitude about the situation that the Lord had them in. And I think sometimes that's why a big reason that the Lord makes our destination a whole lot better than our situation, if that is the case that happens, it's because of the attitude that we go through our situations. The attitude that we go through our situations with. And boy, that's difficult sometimes, isn't it? To have the right attitude in a bad situation. Sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. Now, when Hannah was talking about that that lady pastor, that's a hard thing to have a good attitude about, that woman. And I don't even know the woman. I had a bad attitude sitting over about her. I'm not in that situation. I'm not in that situation, man. But it's my family. And I was like, hey, let's just make a trip to Brazil and take care of her. But it's our attitude. If we had the right attitude, the Lord, our situation would get a whole lot better as we go. We can know that our situation is not our destination because God says it in His Word. Now, He don't just actually say that. But there's Scripture that let us know that the situation that we're going through, the bad things that are happening, the tribulations and the trials that we go through, that's not the end. That's not the destination that we set out to get to. We set out the other night from Belton, or the other day from Belton. Our destination was Hagerstown, Maryland. And we probably was asked 150 times, when are we going to get there? And I thought about that. I ask the Lord that question all the time. Not about when am I going to get to Hagerstown, but when am I going to get to that destination? When am I going to get out of this situation? When am I going to get to the good stuff? Because it gets hard sometimes, don't it? It gets hard sometimes, and we think, when's it coming? When are we going to get there? Bryce, man, I bet he asks, I don't know how many, every 15 minutes, when are we going to get there? The Lord probably thinks that about me sometimes. When am I going to get there? Have I not learned my lesson yet? Have I not got it down pat yet? Sometimes the Lord puts us through things to give us patience and to give us a whole lot of things, and sometimes I think I got it, but apparently I don't. Because sometimes we keep going through bad situations. But Proverbs chapter 3 tells us that He's going to direct our paths if we'll do some things. Most of the things in the Bible say there's an if and there's a then. The Lord will do these things if we take care of our part. Proverbs chapter 21 says that we're in the Lord's hand. And I'm not quoting all the verses, I'm just telling you what the verse says. It says we're in the Lord's hand. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says He'll never leave us or forsake us. So that verse alone right there should tell us, man, whatever situation we're in, He's there with us. if it's a bad one or a good one or whatever, that he's there with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? If the Lord's for, now people will be against us. That's not what the verse means. You know, if you're for the Lord, nobody's going to be against you. It's basically the opposite of that. If you're for the Lord, a lot of people are going to be against you.
Yes.
If you're for the Lord, a lot of people are going to be against you. And lo and behold, it's not just non-Christians or the world that will be against you.
Right.
You understand that? That there's Christian people that will be against you.
Yes.
Or so-called Christian people. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? As long as we have the Lord, we can deal with those people. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15 says that the battle is not ours but God's. The battle's not ours but God's. Now I struggle with that one. Because I want to make it mine. You guys don't do that. You guys don't want to make the battle yours, do you? It's all about the Lord. It's all about God taking care of it. And I know the verse says that the battle is not yours but God's, but I think sometimes I feel like he needs help. He don't need my help. The battle's his. He can take care of it. Romans 8 and verse 18, we already read that one. It says that our trials can't compare to the glory we will see one day. And then 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. But we can't fathom it. We just know when we're going through something that's not pleasant a lot of times. But it says here that, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's the grand destination right there. When he appears, it says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, the Lord may not bring us through a situation now the way we want it to be brought, the way we want to be brought through it. But I tell you what, these characters in Scripture that we just talked about, well, they ended up way better than the way they started out, didn't they? And I believe the Lord will do us the same way. If we will treat the situation the way he wants us to treat them. That's where we get messed up sometimes and we think, you know, well, look at these characters in the Bible. Man, old Job, man, he had a hard time. And the next thing you know, man, he's double the wealth he had. Look at Joseph. Man, he went through all kind of stuff. Man, he ruled the whole place. Why can't that be for me? Maybe we're not going through the situation with the right attitude. Maybe we're not looking at it the right way. Maybe we're not saying, the Lord's just using this to bring us to something bigger and something better and something that he wants us to do. Just like old Moses. You know, backside of the desert, nobody even knew who he was. But boy, when he got to leading them children of Israel, everybody knew who he was then, didn't they? Everybody knew what was going on with him then. Not to say that our goal should be everybody knows us. That's not a big deal. You know, nobody knows where Belton, South Carolina is at. I mean, well, the people who live in Belton, South Carolina know. And you people know because, you know, we're up here. I tell our teenagers, you know, we just a little small church in a little bitty small town in basically a small state. South Carolina's a small state compared to a lot of other states. You know? But you know what? The Lord knows that we're there. He knows we're in a little bitty Belton, South Carolina. In a little bitty small church in a small state. Just like he knew that Moses was in the backside of the desert, tending them sheep. Nobody else knew it. He knows where we're at. He knows where you're at. Wherever you live and whatever your problem, whatever situation is, he knows every one of them. That's a lot of problems to know about, isn't it? But he knows the details of every problem and every situation, every trial and every tribulation that we go through. Well, that's comforting, isn't it? Because if we just thought, oh, we had to be on TV or be in the newspapers for the Lord to care about us, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd all be in trouble. You know, I think about that a lot of times. You know, there's so many people in so many small towns all over this country that are doing God's work that we don't even know about. We have no clue what the Lord knows about them. That's what matters the most, isn't it? That we're doing work for God and He knows about it. That we're serving Him and He knows about it. Just like I said, Belton. You know, Hagerstown's a pretty big place. Compared to Belton, it is. We went to the Hagerstown Suns game last night over there. And lo and behold, I saw somebody there from Belton that wasn't with us. Can you believe that? It's a small world, isn't it? Yeah. The manager from the Hagerstown Suns just happens to be from Belton. He's a Belton guy. And we saw him and talked with him after the game a little bit. So everybody in Hagerstown, the people here in Hagerstown, you guys here, plus one other person knows where Belton's at. From Hagerstown. So I don't know what your situation is, but I do know that according to God's word, whatever that situation is, it's not the end. That situation is not your destination. I do know if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, where your destination is, and I think everybody knows that too. That you know, your situation that you're in is going to be your destination. I know people who are in bad situations in their families and in their jobs and their health and their finances and their relationships. I know a lot of people like that. But praise the Lord, it didn't have to be the end. You know, I read a story about this man who was out on a ship, on a boat, and he had difficulties and he had struggles, and he ended up capsizing. And his boat and his stuff was all, he salvaged a little bit of the things off his boat. His boat was done. There's no way he could get off. And he ended up on this island, and he had just enough stuff to, you know, to get going there, and he built this little hut to keep himself out of the weather. And he was out one day, you know, trying to get some food and get some things together. And when he came back from the other side of the island, his hut had burned down. He'd been here for quite a while. That was the only thing he had left, was that hut and a few supplies. And apparently lightning or something had struck it and burnt the hut down. And he was distraught that happened. And he was asking the Lord, you know, Lord, that was the last thing I had left. I mean, that's the only thing that would keep me out of this, the bad weather. And this only how I live. Why would you do that? Why would you take the last thing I had? Why would you burn my hut down? And so the next morning, you know, he sleeps out in the night. The next morning, big ship comes pulling up to the shore there at the island. And man, he goes running and he's praising the Lord that this ship shows up to pick him up. So he asked the people who were driving the ship, said, "How in the world did you know I was here? Where'd you find me?" And the guy said, "We saw your smoke signals coming up." His smoke signals was his hut had burnt down. So what looked like a bad situation was a wonderful situation. That hut burnt down at the right time where somebody could see the smoke coming up and they found it. You know, sometimes it seems like we're going under for the count, don't it? It seems like it's not going to get no better. And we're burning up. We're going up in flames. But them flames might just be, well, that smoke signal that we're looking for might have worked out for him, didn't it? So our situation is not our destination. I'm going to close in prayer, and then Grandpa can come and close it any way he wants to. Lord, we do thank you for this day you've given to us. Thank you for these good people here at this church, Lord, and thank you for their faithfulness to you down through the years. Lord, I pray if anyone's going through a bad situation, Lord, I'm sure numbers are. Lord, I pray that you just help them to look to you for their strength and their guidance, Lord, and for the right attitude to go through it, Lord, and to realize that their situation is not their destination, Lord, that you have better. Lord, I pray that you just be with this church down through the years, Lord, and thank you for them and for their ministry and the missionaries they support, Lord, and the good work that they do, Lord. Continue to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.